Would you turn to the book of John, please? Oh, hallelujah. The book of John. In chapter 2, please. Oh, hallelujah. The book of John in chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Obviously, there was something that she knew. You got to remember something, that the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary more than once. And he told her things that were to come, so that she would be prepared, because the Bible says that certain things were hidden in her heart. And so the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Like, you know, what does Jesus have to do with them not running out of wine, right? Because there was something that she knew. And Jesus said to her, "Woman." He didn't say mother. He said, "Woman. What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Well, that was confirmation to Mary, his mother, because he did not recognize her as mother. He recognized her as woman, which separated him from her. When she heard that, she freaked in an arena to where she had gotten revelation. There was something she was supposed to do. And the thing that she was supposed to do was, look in verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, do you do it?" Because she knew now that something was about to begin. Obviously, somehow, somewhere along the line, she had known about when that time of woman and when about the time of the wine. She was no longer his mother. She was his daughter. In verse 6, "Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece." So there are these water pots which were made of clay. Okay. And in these water pots, they would hold 20 or 30 gallons of water, and there were 6 of them, 6 meaning man, because the representation of the number of 6 represents man. And they were filled with water. Now the Bible says that you must be born of water and what? Spirit. And the wine usually represents spirit. Okay. In verse 7, "And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim." In other words, they couldn't fit any more in it. "And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast," the one who was running the feast. "And they took it to him. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made of wine, that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom." You know who Jesus is? He's known as the bridegroom. And you and I, as the body of Christ, is known as the bride. But he was calling the bridegroom of the wedding. "And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now." Now, obviously, the bridegroom didn't know anything about this. He was probably like, "What? What do you mean, kept the good wine? Well, I didn't know we had any more, you know?" But this was a part, this is one of Jesus' first miracles that he was performing. And it was very powerful here because it was a representation of a transition that was about to happen. It was about the things of old were about to pass away, and the things of new was about to happen. And I want to talk about new wineskins. New wineskins. Because without getting a new wineskin, you cannot receive new wine. Has everybody got it? You must receive a new wineskin. And then it is a process of receiving a wineskin. If you remember when we were maybe a little bit younger, and they had those little Boda bags or Buddha, what do they call it? Flasks or whatever. You used to put the wine in and go to the concerts and all the other stuff, you know, those little bags. And well, that's what you consider a wineskin. Well, that's what they used to carry around all the time, except for most of theirs were a little bit bigger than those. That's how they kept things in. And when the wineskin would begin to dry out, if you put new wine in it, it would burst. It would always bust. So there'd be a time when you'd have to replace that wineskin to get new wine in. And Jesus was revealing something of man in a transition, because the six water pots were representation of man, which was filled with water, and there's about a transition to come. See, they looked at it as a miracle of Jesus changing water into wine. Jesus looked at them as a representation of the old being fulfilled to the brim and the new coming in. Does everybody understand? Because Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, didn't he? That's why the water pots were filled to the brim, because he was the one that was going to fulfill all things. Is everybody with me? Okay, go to Jeremiah 18. And of course, the new wine represented the Holy Spirit, didn't it? Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, these water pots were made out of clay and stone and stuff. Some of them were carved out, and some of them were molded. In Jeremiah 18 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The word was carried to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go to the potter's house, and there I'll cause you to hear my words." Sometimes we have to be caused to hear God's word. You know, we get into circumstances and troubles and all kinds, because God is trying to draw us, because he has been calling us. We've been saying, "Okay, God, I'm ready." We've never fulfilled it. Finally, there's a position or a place where he's calling us. Sometimes, hey, let me share something with you. Some of us had to go to jail. Some of us had to be in the hospital. Some of us had to be on the street. Some of us had to find a place where we couldn't eat or drink and get into a place where they were feeding them, and you had to sit there and hear the word of God before they'd feed you. Amen? Why? Because he was causing us to hear his word. It was for our benefit. So he was causing us to hear his word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. The wheel represents the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. What was he doing? That's considered a wineskin. He was making a new one, wasn't he? Amen? The vessel that was holding the wine, or the pot that was holding the water, right? He was remolding, wasn't he? In other words, there's got to be a time when you've got to be willing to shed your skin. Amen? And there's a process of that where you're going to be shedding certain things, and God's going to be asking you to let go. You know, he doesn't ask you to let go of everything all at once. It's a lot easier if we volunteer it. Okay, I'll give you it all right now. That's it. Instead of, you know. But then there's things that we end up picking up, and we get dried up, and we have to replace certain things. And what he does is he says, "Okay, I'm going to mold you according to the way I want to mold you, and not according to the way you want to mold you." You know, so many people think that just because they have a talent, that's it. That's what God's going to do. No. You don't know what God is going to do. But you've got to allow him to do it. Because there's always preparation. God is always preparing me and you for something specific. And each job or each event, there's always preparation. You know, sometimes you may go out at your job and the Holy Spirit may teach something that Tuesday or Friday night. And the next thing you know, man, you know, I just got that and now I know what it's for. You know, and sometimes we just don't realize it. So the clay or the vessel was regenerated into another vessel. We're always going through a regeneration process. We call it a healing process, which we call repent, renounce, and receive. But there is a process of everything. God is always promoting us if you're willing to do whatever it takes. Sometimes he demotes us if we refuse his way. Amen. Sometimes we have to go out and eat more dirt till we finally get it. Does he want us to? No. How many times have people said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Then he puts us in a place so that we can learn the way. And we say, ah, this is not for me. This can't be God. Hallelujah. So we see that the potter, who is God, takes the pot and begins to regenerate me and you into another vessel. And this process is a continuous process. And you've got to allow him to do it. Turn to Titus 3. Oh, hallelujah. It gets real quiet when we start talking about regeneration and stuff. Okay, what's God getting ready to do with me now? Titus chapter 3. Oh, hey, listen. It's a healing process. It's a killing process, you know. It works hand in hand. It's a good thing. Titus chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 3? Would you read it with me? Come on. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. It sounds like worldly way. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, you have a choice. You have a choice of submitting to the regeneration or resisting it. Everyone has a choice. You know, I always share with people, you know, the ones that say, Lord, not my will, your will, and then they refuse, it's like somebody lassoing them, tying them to a horse, and they get dragged along the bushes, the stones, and everything else. Because you know what? They're going to have to go through hell on earth until they finally surrender. Because they're always saying, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, do this for me. Oh, Lord, I want to do your will. And they keep refusing to really do the will of God, and they go through a lot of stuff. Amen? We all went through a lot of stuff. Because we'd say, oh, God, not my way, your way. And then we'd choose to do our way again. Hello. So the regeneration is done by the Holy Spirit. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. That's why it's so important for us to look at him as a comforter, as a teacher, as a friend, as God, and guiding us to all truth. That's why we encourage everyone, when they first get here, one of the first things you want to do is invite the Holy Spirit. Welcome him to help you read, to help you learn, to help you study, to help you understand. Amen? Invite him always. He will never leave you. But you can quench him. You can hurt his feelings. Amen? Depending on what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your thoughts, what's your attitude like, he'll move away. One of the things David cried out was said, Father, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He did not want God's presence to leave him. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you go to Luke chapter 5? Oh, new wineskins. You know, when a snake sheds its skin, it's just a certain time, isn't it? I'm not sure whether it's a specific time every time, but there's a certain time or whatever that all of a sudden, whether it's a change of atmosphere or temperature or weather or whatever, or there's just a certain time when a snake sheds its skin. And you know, it just happens automatically. He just doesn't choose that day to shed his skin. You know, it's a process. And certain parts begin to change, and this and that and whatever. And finally, that whole skin is replaced with a brand new skin. And you know what? In our process of this, it's not when you choose, it's when God chooses. And that's where we've got to be willing to yield to His shedding of our old wineskins so that there's something new He wants to give us. If we're still holding on to things of old, that new wine doesn't come and we get dried up. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Luke 5? Luke chapter 5. Thank you for new wineskins, Lord. In verse 33, would you read it with me? Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? Now that was something, isn't it? How come John's disciples, you know, are fasting all the time, but the ones that are following you aren't doing this right now? They're having a good time. And we're miserable fasting and praying. But these guys are having a great time. And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Amen. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days, because Jesus is the bridegroom. Then he spoke a parable to them and said, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts a new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So sometimes we're not willing to get rid of the old. But God wants to bring us up to a higher place. There are many people who are bound by traditions of religion and stuff. You know, three things that prevent people from getting baptized in Holy Spirit or continuing on to get new wine is traditions of men, unbelief, and unconfessed sin. There's some people who are just not willing to be honest before God. Not that they can't be honest before man. Amen. Just being totally honest before God. These are certain things that you and I must go through the process. Listen, God is not interested in what you believe. He's interested that you have the truth. Because only truth sets you free. What you believe will put you in bondage if it's not truth. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So only with a new wineskin can you have new wine. Amen? Just turn to Psalm 119. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 119. Is everybody there? Verse 83, or 81. 81 to 83. Read this with me, please. Psalm 119, verses 81 through 83. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. Now listen, there's something that was happening with David. He became dry. He said, I've become a wineskin in smoke. He became dry. What was he saying? Man, I'm searching your word. Help! I need your presence. I'm looking for you. My eyes are looking for you. I need a drink. Amen. A lot of people go to the bar and ask for a drink. We go to Joel's place.
Amen.
Hello? Where he says, I'll pour out my spirit upon you, and you will prophesy, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right? That's new wine. So David had a dry skin. He needed to exchange that skin for a new one. And he was crying out for that exchange. Sometimes you're groaning in your spirit to cry out for a change. And you can't even figure it out. You don't know what's what. But you just know that something's changing and something's got to change because you're not content where you're at. You know what? You're shedding. You're going through it. God is trying to put a new wineskin on you. It says that we groan. Listen, we're not groaning to be unclothed. We're groaning to be more clothed with His glory. That's where this groaning is from. Sometimes it feels like it's just groaning inside. And you know what? You can get in a place where you're just like miserable sometimes because you know that you need to have more of God. Man, I need to have more of you, Lord. What's the holdup? Sometimes He says, it's you. And sometimes He says, wait. Patiently. Trust me. Amen? Trust me. Hallelujah. All glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, that's when you start singing, I want more, more of you. Hallelujah. You know, you get to a point where nothing satisfies. Nothing. Because God is trying to bring you up to another level. What you used to do before is no longer satisfying anymore. A new wineskin is coming on. That old one's being shed. Man, this song I used to worship to all the time just isn't fulfilling me anymore. What I used to do with it, it's just not fulfilling me anymore. I need more. That's okay. He won't deny it. He's just bringing us through a change and transition of regeneration of the Holy Spirit to put a new wineskin on so that you can get more wine. He's trying to bring us up to another level. And sometimes during this process, He begins to expose you to you. I guess all the time, not sometime. Yeah. And why? Because there's certain areas that we haven't let Him in yet. You know, we thought we let Him in, but we didn't. There's certain areas He wants to heal that you're still holding on to that you think you can heal. Because you're not being open with Him all the way. There's certain things that have happened in our lives that we're either ashamed of or guilty of that we don't even want to express to God like He doesn't know already. See, He's just asking us to come before Him and in wholeness and of trust. See, He wants us to totally trust Him in every area. Every area. So that He can stretch His hand and send forth His Spirit in that place of healing. He doesn't want to patch the wineskin. He wants to give you a new one. He's not a patcher. He's a creator. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 is just for you, glory. And verse 20, would you read it with me? But in a great house, are you in a great house?
Yeah.
Amen. God's house is a great house, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Ooh. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So we must cleanse ourselves. Now, if you read this fully through and understand it, he's talking about vessels that need to be cleansed by putting on new wineskins. It's coming from... Now, let me explain this, first of all. This transition is coming from what we call a goat to a sheep to a soldier. Okay? A goat represents rebellion. You know? A sheep is one who follows. And a soldier is one who becomes a warrior. Okay? So, it's a transition from goat to sheep to warrior. Has everybody got it? Or a soldier, what we call a soldier. Oh, hallelujah. So sheep skin, a goat skin, a sheep skin, right? And a new wine skin. Hallelujah. Do y'all get that? A goat skin? Because what did they used to use? They used to make the wineskins out of goats or sheeps, right? So you and I had a goat skin, then we had a sheepskin, and God is trying to put on a new wineskin so that you can become soldiers and warriors for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Go back a little bit to verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 3 and 4, would you read it with me? You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one said it was going to be easy. Does everybody see that? No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So, he's talking about cleansing ourselves from the past. Be careful of the entanglements that return to a gulp or that will cause you to return to a gulp. We must keep changing. We must allow the Lord to keep changing our skin. Amen? So that these wine skins that we'll be producing will be filled with new wine. Did you ever go to a pond, or let me use a pool that hasn't been functioning in a while? It gets pretty stagnant and stinky, doesn't it? That's what can happen to us. Sometimes we need that oil change with a new oil filter. Amen? A new wineskin. We need that change so that we can continue to go forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you got to be careful not get involved in entanglements of life. In other words, you get worried about, where am I going to eat? How am I going to get this? And what about this? And what about that? Worry is entanglements in the affairs of the world, affairs of your life. You said that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and you've given Him your life. Why take it back? Come on, you're under warranty. Amen? You're under warranty. Why take it back now? Why break the warranty? You know, if you use something incorrect, the warranty's broken. You know, don't break the warranty, right? Let God be God and us be His children. Oh, hallelujah. But the devil would like to entangle us back up again. Go to Galatians chapter 5. The devil wants to delay that wineskin exchange. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 19. Chapter 5 and verse 19. Would you read it with me? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's getting involved in the entanglements and the affairs of life again. Now, it's very important that we understand these. These entanglements will prevent the kingdom of God manifesting in us and through us. And continued practice of such things will prevent us from entering eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
So, remember, the powers of darkness are trying to entangle us into these affairs of life again. This is where you're more important than anything else. In other words, me, 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 and me. I, and I. I, right? I call that a demonic pizza. Amen? Praise God. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. In verse 5. Matthew 16 and verse 5. Oh, hallelujah. 5 through 12. Read it with me. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now the word leaven means evil. Okay, it means evil. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees were supposed to be the ones that were the teachers and the rabbis, and they were supposed to be the men of God that were dressed up and all this other stuff, and supposed to be leading people in the right direction. And the Lord said to them, be careful of the evil that's in them, or those who are associating with evil. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we had taken no bread. Now the disciples went way off into another arena, thinking, uh-oh, we forgot bread. He's upset now. Jesus, oh man, what are we going to do? Maybe we can send out for bread somewhere, you know? But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have not brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? In other words, the miracles, they got caught back up on, oh, we forgot the bread. But they forgot who was with them. The bread maker. the bread of life. Hello? And verse 10. Now, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, what they were teaching. He said, be careful of what you're listening to. Be careful of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be careful of the religious leaders. Amen? In other words, they were old wineskins, not willing to change their skins to put new wine in. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus was the new wine. He was busting their bubble or wineskin. I mean, come on, he called havoc. He caused a lot of havoc with these guys, man. I mean, they didn't know what to do with Jesus. The only thing they could think of was to kill him. Because he wasn't about to go with their flow. Remember, his first miracle was a representation of fulfillment of the old to bring in the new. Some of them weren't willing to follow along with it. They still wanted the old way, the worldly way. So he was busting their bubble. They couldn't let go of their traditions and their beliefs. They weren't willing to follow, even though Jesus, I mean, those who really knew the scriptures of the old began to realize that Jesus was the Christ. Not all of them were boneheads, you know. Some of them began to follow. In fact, Nicodemus, he snuck to Jesus at night because he knew if they saw him in the day, he would have gotten in trouble, man. And he even called Jesus Rabbi, which represented teacher. Which, in other words, he believed who Jesus was. But that's powerful because even though he believed who Jesus was, Jesus turned around and said to him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. He said, you need to be born again. That's great, Nicodemus, that you believe in me, but there's something more. There's something more. It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need more. I was talking to a gentleman today on the phone who's been a believer, but he's been everywhere in programs for 10 or 12 years. 12-step in it, 2-step in it, 3-step in it, whatever. You know? But he forgot one step. You know? So many people just jump over that step, you know, and continue getting in trouble. I said, man, you got no power. And he says, what do you mean? He says, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, you got no power, man. Mm-hmm. He said, well, I was baptized when I was a kid. I said, no. Not a little sprinkle of water or submersion. I said, baptism of the Holy Ghost, where God baptizes you in His Spirit. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what I was talking about. But that's okay. No power. Who wants to manage addiction and sickness? I want to be free from it. Sometimes we get involved in that. Yeah. We begin to manage again. And that's a trickery of the devil. You've been free of something, and next thing you know, you're managing it again. And you start picking this thing up and cuddling it, feeding it. The next thing you know, it's eating you. Starting to manage it all over again. Next thing you know, you're out of position. And you're wondering why you're not moving forward. You're wondering why the blessings have slowed down. You're wondering why all kinds of things are happening. You know why? Because we've started in our own strength. Management means your strength. Freedom is His strength. There's a difference. Oh, hallelujah. We could go on all night about that. John chapter 5. In verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. You know, Jesus didn't put up with the Pharisees or Sadducees. He rebuked them, called them hypocrites. I mean, you know, He didn't take no garbage. People think that Jesus was a walkover sometimes. He wasn't. The only thing He did was lay down His head to die for me and you. Other than that, He stood up strong. A third of His ministry was casting out devils. Amen. When they saw Him, they shook. Amen. Sickness couldn't handle His presence. Amen. Sin was convicted in His presence. Because sin is nothing but a presence of evil. Oh, John 5, 39. Would you read it with me? Now he's speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he says, what? You search the scriptures, For in them you think you have eternal life. Now this is powerful. You think you have eternal life, which is in the Scriptures. And these are they which testify of me. He's telling them, look it. The Scriptures that you're searching are testifying of me, he said. You think you have eternal life. Then he says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have it. In other words, you're not willing to lay it all down and come to me as a personal relationship. Not willing to change from legalism to relationship or from religion to relationship. God desires a relationship. It's not how much you know, it's who you know.
Amen?
Amen. So he rebuked them saying, listen man, you search the Scriptures that testify of me. Think you have eternal life, but you won't come to me to get it. Hello? You know, there's a lot of people out there who can read the Bible and quote Scriptures left and right and are still going to hell. I always tell people, you better know the taxi cab driver when the taxi comes and picks you up. In other words, at the end, remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. Either the demons will come and take you or the angels of the Lord will come and take you. One or the other. Oh, hallelujah. Not willing to change. You're not willing to allow the wineskin to be changed. Amen? Yeah, we have a fight going on. And some of our fight or resistance is resisting the Holy Spirit, what He's trying to do with us. And when we resist Him, we turn around and receive the demonic spirit. Amen? Does everybody get it?
Amen.
You're going to communicate with one spirit or another. Hallelujah. Philippians 3.
Hallelujah.
Philippians chapter 3. Oh Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Give me that new wineskin. Oh, not that way. No, no, not that. It hurts too much. No way. Let me keep on those old filthy garments. It feels better. Oh, hallelujah. Mm. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Paul speaking, he says, brethren, is everybody there?
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, I do not count myself... Oh, that's 13, isn't it? Let's go back one, all right? Am I there yet? All right, I'm getting there. In verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Everybody say, I press on.
I press on.
That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Remember, he said he chose you. You didn't choose him. We lose that sometimes. You know, we think, oh, I chose God this day. No, he chose you.
Amen.
You just finally accepted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Say that again. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Hey, Paul had a lot to forget. Remember, he was a Pharisee. He was one of them. Thought he knew it all. Killing for God. Searching the Scriptures that testified of Jesus, but wouldn't come to him. Killed everyone who followed him. He was known as Saul before he came Paul. But when he got a new wineskin, and he got new wine, he said, forget the old wine. Forget the old ways. I don't want to know nothing with it. I'm willing to forget it. Not that I've apprehended perfection, but I'm going to continue to press on and let God deal with me in exchanging the wineskin and giving me new wine whenever I'm needed. Ooh. And verse 14. I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature, which is a part of maturing,
Amen.
letting go. Have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So wherever you've obtained, hold on to it and don't lose it. Don't let that be taken away. Amen? But continue to press on, forgetting those things. Like I said, God's not interested in what you believe. He's interested that you know the truth. There's many things that we believed were incorrect. Amen? Mm-hmm. Truth frees you. Truth frees you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Luke 18. Glory to God. Luke 18. And verse 29 and 30. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? So he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time." Wow, that's powerful. In this present time, right now. See, if you can't do that, you can't get a new wineskin. Because then you're still holding on to the old. And, okay, he says what now? Who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Ooh. Ooh. That's powerful. Putting the kingdom before your life is the number one important thing. Putting the kingdom before your life. In other words, the kingdom is priority before you. That's where you got to get out of the way. And we've talked about this before. In other words, whatever you're doing, are you doing it to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name? The kingdom must always come before your life.
Amen.
Yes.
Matthew 6. May get you in trouble sometimes. There will be resistance. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 31. Would you read it with me? Matthew 6, 31 through 30-something. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Read it with me. "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or what job am I going to get, or when am I going to get my license, or when am I going to get my car, or when am I going to get my cell phone, or when's God going to send me a woman or a man, or when, or what, or how." Oh, hallelujah. Verse 32. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Oh, isn't that wonderful? He knows. You don't have to beg. He knows. You don't have to write a letter to Him. He already knows.
Amen.
You don't even have to fast over it. He already knows. Oh, Lord. He knows. Isn't that wonderful? You just got to get in position.
Amen.
Verse 33, would you all read it with me? But seek first the kingdom of God. Say it again. Seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom must be first. And His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Didn't say to come all at once either. Hello? Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You be accountable and responsible for what God has given on your table now. Now, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. You know, worry is sin. That means you're associating with a spirit of fear. And that is sin. I don't want to associate with demonic powers. Amen? They may be your friend for a while. Then they'll possess you if they can. And the next thing you know, you're a wreck. Oh. But believers can't have demons. Really? Then you need deliverance. If you don't believe a believer has a demon, you've got one. He's called a lying, deceiving, seducing spirit. He's the blinder. Hello? Listen, if there's bondage in your life, that's association with a demonic spirit, isn't it? Come on. Remember I shared with you, Jesus' third of His ministry was casting out devils. The Bible says in Mark 16:16, let's go there. Hallelujah. I wouldn't want to be called a liar. Mark 16:16. Praise God. Mark 16:16. Oh, get ready for that new wineskin. Hallelujah. You know, once it's preached, it's teached, then it's imparted, and now it's going to begin to happen. For some of us, we've been going through it already. Hallelujah. I feel like I shed 3 skins already this week. But to God be the glory. Death is a wonderful place. You know, this must all have started when Wade put in there a cult. Remember he put on the cul-de-sac. Here we are located on a cul-de-sac. Praise God. We love you, Wade. No problem. Thank you. It's okay. Hallelujah. In verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What's the word believe mean? Follow. If you're not a follower, you're a liar. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will what? Whoa, hallelujah. They will what? Cast out demons and speak with new tongues. So it means if you follow, you're eventually going to start doing these things. See, there's always a manifestation of God's presence in your life. If there's no manifestation, His presence isn't there. There's always a manifestation of His presence in your life with power, with witness, casting out devils, the gifts of the Spirit. There's something always there. Amen? Ooh. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in Acts 1:8 it says, and when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you shall have power and be witnesses. Well, I just don't believe that. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise be to God. Oh, yes. Can you feel the peeling now?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shed that wineskin. Putting the kingdom before your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Please read it with me. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. That's the difference between management and freedom. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. That the fruits may be manifested of Him and not of our own. Not our power, but His power. Let me share something with you. And not blinded with pride and self-promotion, but yielding to the presence of the Holy Spirit for regeneration. Let me say that again. It's not in our power, but in His. Not in our strength. But not blinded with pride and self-promotion, but putting or yielding to the person of the Holy Spirit for regeneration. That's what we're doing. We're yielding to the Holy Spirit for regeneration. Not in our own strength, not trying to manage, but being free. Not blinded with pride and self-promotion, but yielding to the person of the Holy Spirit for regeneration. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. Oh, praise God, it's good to hear the pages turning on Tuesday night. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 3. Is everybody there? Zechariah chapter 3. Change is good. Remember, your circumstances are an opportunity for you to change. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Good. It's a good opportunity for you to change. But you don't know how I feel. Praise God. Change. In verse 1, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Let me tell you something. There will always be opposition. Always. Did you ever think, man, nothing ever goes right? How come there's always a delay? Because there's always opposition. Things are not going to always go the way you want. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Old wineskin. God was about to promote him. Had to change his wineskin. Then he answered and he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua. In other words, he was promoted. And he said, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house. And likewise have charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among those who stand here. In other words, goat, sheep, soldier. goat, sheep, soldier. Amen. Joshua just got the wineskin changed and brought up to become a soldier. He just told him, listen, when I'm giving you this position, you're a soldier. If you keep it and you do things right, I'll give you more. For if you're faithful with a little, you get more. But if you're not faithful with a little, you don't get any more. In fact, if you're not faithful with a little, you'll end up losing what you have. Amen? That's why discipline is important, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Not our power, but His, right? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So there will be opposition, won't there? So one of the first things we must do is put the kingdom before our life, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. One of the other things we must do is recognize that there's going to be resistance. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 3 and 4. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Hello, there's a war going on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Wow. Something else we got to do. We must have the will to war. If you're not, do not have the will to war, those who are not in battle will become casualties. You can't sit on the bandstands and watch. The devil is no respecter. A lot of people think, well, man, if I don't bother with this, the devil won't bother me. No, he already has you. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we are fighting powers of darkness, principalities, wickedness in heavenly places, right? Rulers of this age. We are fighting darkness. And you've got to be willing to war. In fact, God is going to test you to see if you have the will to war before He'll promote you. Because He knows that you're going to end up losing everything anyways and bring shame to His name if you do not have the will to fight or the will to war. Amen? It's a necessity. So we talked about the number one thing is that the kingdom must be before our life, right? The other thing is that we must have a will to war. Very important. Go to Hebrews 13. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, 15. Is everybody there? Praise God. Would you read 15 through 17 with me? Therefore, by Him, let us continue. Say continually.
Continually.
Offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they will watch out for your souls and those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now listen, there not only must be a will to war, there must be a will to praise and obey. That means will is a representation of choice. There must be a will to war. First of all, we talked about there must be a will for the kingdom to be before your life, a will to war, a will to praise, and a will to obey. And finally, in Matthew 16, hallelujah. You know what this does? This maintains your wineskin until you get a new one. Prevents you from leaking. Hallelujah. Matthew 16:24. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read it together. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." There must be a will to
die.
Put on a new wineskin and go higher in God. That's the only way you go. No wine, new wineskin, no new wine. You'll become stagnant, and let me tell you something. The devil knows when you're stagnant. He knows. He'll dry you up and then eat you up. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, the kingdom of God before your life, a will to war, a will to praise, a will to obey, and a will to die, no matter what the cost. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Lord, we want new wineskins.
Amen.
Put us new wineskins, Lord, that we can have new wine. Shed us, rip us, kill us, and position us that we can have new wine and be a witness for you, that the rivers of living water would flow through us, that the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit would be manifest through us, that Christ would be manifested in us and through us, that your kingdom would be manifested, and that the fullness of Christ would be manifested. That you would bring glory, Lord, to your name. In Jesus' name.